The text is the gospel reading from St. Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable: "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God.'" Here ends the text. Jesus preached about money. I should. True. But this parable is not about dollars. It's about cents. What sense would it make for Jesus to decline to be an authority on dividing money and then tell a parable about money which ends with "be rich toward God" or "be a fool"? To help you make sense of this parable, don't make it about dollars. This parable isn't about dollars, but making sense of the distinction between two Greek words, zoe and bios. These are two Greek words translated life. But the New Testament makes an important distinction between these words. Trench, a 19th century Anglican bishop who was an expert on Greek synonyms, says this parable turns on correctly understanding the distinction between zoe and bios in the Bible. Bios is the life which we live. Zoe is that life by which we live. When the widow gives her mites, Jesus says she has given all her bios. He couldn't have said zoe, because no human has the authority to give or to take that. Likewise, when Jesus says, true man and true God, that he came to give life, and that abundantly, he uses zoe, not bios. Bios can be sustained by this world and the things in the world. Zoe cannot. The mistake the fool makes is to think that since he has bios and plenty to keep his bios going the mistake he makes is because he has plenty of bios, he also has plenty of zoe. Another way to say it is this: the fool thinks because he has a certain measure of control over his physical life, he has a like amount of control over his spiritual life. He thinks that by keeping his body alive, he keeps his soul alive. This is a mistake, and it goes all the way back to the church in the wilderness. They complained that the Lord wasn't providing for their bodies. So the Lord sent them manna, meat, and water for their bodies. But Psalm 106:15 tells the whole story. So he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. So where's your focus? Where does our world focus you? Not on zoe, but on bios. Not on the health of your soul, but on the health of your body. The world preaches what this fool believed. Since he had enough for years of bios, he had years of zoe ahead of him. Is that what you believe? This parable is not about dollars. It's about making sense of the distinction between what man says and what God says. This man said he had many years, and God said he only had this very night. It was true. The man had plenty of good things laid up for many years. He really could rest for the rest of his life. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. His barns were packed with grains and goods. And note well, he calls them my grain and my goods. The man says this will be his for many years. God says only till tonight. We usually picture this man as old, of retirement age, but the text doesn't say that. Once one of our members and I were reading the same book. I took the main character as being my age at the time, 50. The member took him as being his age, 25. When we talked about the book, he showed me in the book where the character was his age, not mine. Then my whole view of the book changed. So the guy in the text could be the founder of Facebook or the founders of YouTube's age. Or he could be my age. But the real point is to take him to be your age. Whether you're a teen, a 30-something, in midlife, or the golden years. See the man as that age and see you as him. That's important. Otherwise, you won't see yourself in the parable. The parable is going to be for others, not for you. But you'll say, I'm not rich. I have bills. I have debts. I can't take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Now I've got you. The parable isn't about being rich, but about being greedy. Jesus introduces it with, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. This parable is about wanting more than you have and foolishly saying, contrary to what God says, that if you can get it, you will have all that you need for life. Yes, for bios, but not zoe. For your body, yes, but not for your soul. Solomon says, money answers all. And don't I believe it? It's funny, however, that over the years, the amount it will take to answer all the things in my life always has gone up. That's how it was for the guy in the text, too. Jesus says he was rich before the bumper crop came in. And even though the man realizes it's all physical gain and knows it only answers all for physical life, he still speaks to his soul. He says literally, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good things laid up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry. Here's the difference between what God says and man says. The man says he's being wise. God says he's a fool. The man says, I have many years. God says, tonight's the night. Actually, the man had studied just enough of what God says to make him dangerous to himself. He knows Isaiah 22, verse 13. It says, let us eat and drink. But he doesn't know the rest of that verse, where God says, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. What counts in your life? Is it what men say? Is it what you say? Or is it what God says? Are you paying more attention to what men, be they doctors, financial planners, or politicians, say than you are to what God says? A doctor might tell you, you have many years to live. Your financial advisor might tell you, you have more than enough to live. A politician might tell you, the way to the good life. Isn't that great when they tell you those sorts of things? But what happens when they don't? What happens when the doctor says you're dying? What happens when the stockbroker says you're broke? What happens when the politician says we don't have the good life? In both cases, whether they are good or bad things, their words are really no more certain than the man's words in the text were. He said he had plenty to live on for years to come. God said he didn't. What God says is what counts. God says your years are as a handbreadth, a breath on a window pane, as nothing before him. God says in sin you were conceived so that you are by nature children of wrath and therefore dead in your trespasses and sins. And nothing you own, nothing you can buy, nothing you can do, nothing you can think will make you alive. Oh, with St. Paul, you might be able to fool yourself into thinking you're alive apart from God. I mean, you do have bios going on. But one little visit from God will show that apart from Him, without Him, you don't have Zoe. And so you'll wake up, as this man did, to the horrible realization that you're dead. You'll realize having a pulse, having plans, having enough to live, doesn't mean you have spiritual life. Zoe comes from God's Word. That's what God has always said. He said, man does not live by bread alone. Live here is zao, the verb form of zoe. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You can get bios from food, from medicine, even from technology. But you can only get zoe from God's Word. That Word was made flesh to take on the law of God, which sentenced you to death. That Word made flesh kept the law in your place, thus removing it from hanging over your head. And that Word made flesh took your death sentence upon Himself, suffering, sighing, bleeding, and dying in your place. The Word made flesh paid for your sins, which sentenced you to death, and now He can do with your sins what He wills. And He wills to wash them away from you in baptism. He wills to command them away from you by the absolution. And He wills to commune them away from you in His supper. In His audible and visible Word, He speaks and you live. Your sins, death, and the devil, they say you're dead. God says you're alive. Your aging, sick body says you're dying. His Word says you're thriving. What God in Christ says counts. Not what men say, not what your conscience says, not what the devil himself says. This parable is not about dollars, but about making sense of the distinction between carrots and cucumbers. Carrots are vegetables that you have to pull out of the ground, and sometimes they don't come easy. Sometimes it seems they want to remain in that dirt with every ounce of energy they have. You literally see the fibers of their being trying to hold on. Cucumbers, they're above the dirt. They're above the ground. You easily break them off the vine. The man in the parable is a carrot. You, friends in Christ, are cucumbers. God's Word says of the man and all who claim to have life, zoe, from their things, that his soul is demanded of him. There's no future tense in the Greek. It's not, as the insert has it, will be demanded. No, here and now it is demanded. There's a pulling, there's a retching, there's a jerking of this man's soul because it is thoroughly embedded in his body. His zoe is rooted in his bios. Your soul is not. Your soul is rooted in the things of God, His promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Your zoe is not in your bios, but in God. Your true life started when you were baptized. You live Sunday to Sunday from the audible and visible gospel that declares the dead alive, the sinner saint, the guilty free. You get the abundant life of Jesus through His body and blood at this altar. His zoe comes to your bios, and behold, you really live. You're a cucumber, not a carrot. Your soul will not be demanded of you. Indeed, each morning and night you commend not just your body, but your soul to God. You're a cucumber ripe for the picking whenever God calls you. Why? Because your riches are in God. I can show you in the Greek how that last verse is rightly translated, rich in God, not rich toward God. But just look at the parable. The point is not that the man didn't do enough for God, but that the man didn't think he needed God to do anything for him. That's not true for cucumbers like you. You don't get your life from dirt like some carrot. No, you get your life from the Son. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. The Son of God loved you and gave His life for you, so you might have life. Your life, your fortune, your health, your wealth, your happiness, they are in Him. What He has done and will do. What He has said and still says to you. You are rich in God. So when you die, you won't be leaving behind your riches, you'll be going to them. Now, doesn't that make sense? Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.